You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Midweek Mailbag. It is week 14. Your Detroit Lions are 4-1 in their last five, and now, 5-7? So we got a lot to talk about. But before we do, let me introduce myself. I am Jeremy Rissman. I'm the producer over at Pride of Detroit. You can find me at Detroit Online. With me to answer all your very optimistic Detroit Lions questions this week is managing editor of Pride of Detroit, at Eric Schlitt on Twitter. Eric Schlitt is here.
Good afternoon.
It is. It is a good afternoon, to modestly put it. People are feeling pretty darn good about this team after they took a whooping to the Jacksonville Jaguars to the tune of a 40-14 victory. One of the more complete wins we've seen from this team in quite some time. And now, apparently, and I'm just going to go right to this question, because that optimism has spilled over into week 14.
Yeah.
Because while the Vikings opened up as a 1-point favorite over the Detroit Lions, that line is now Detroit by 2.5. And so Grifo on Twitter asks, how crazy is that?
It's very, very crazy, right? It's you know, it's not just a couple of Lions fans like putting some money down. Like, to move the line 3.5 points in 24 hours, that's got to have some serious money on it, right? And they're like the type of money that, like, you have to like take a second and be like, okay, hold on, might be something here more. And maybe it's just people reading into the you know, the analytics as we've been starting to dive into early this week, and looking at things like DVOA numbers and how they've been playing over the last five games compared to how the Vikings have been playing over the last five games. And so it's a lot of people donning the Honolulu blue this week.
Yeah. And to just expand on some of that, the DVOA numbers, not just for the past 5 weeks, for the entire season, the Lions are ranked 13th in DVOA. So they are the 13th best team according to DVOA. And in case you don't know what DVOA is, it's basically a play-to-play efficiency metric. It measures efficiency on every individual play. It also adjusts to strength of opponent, which I think is the thing that I'm the reason why I like it more than others. So Lions are 13th. Eric, do you know where the Vikings are?
My guess is early 20s. 24?
20th, exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So yeah, like, the Lions are a better team by DVOA than the Vikings, and considerably so.
And that's for the totality of the season.
Yes.
Too, right? Not even the last 5 weeks. So that's including the shutout against New England. That's including the 1-6 start. Yep. And they're still 13. Like, if you look at where they are over the last five games, it's even like it's like
they're sixth. They're sixth.
Take a cold shower type of stuff, right?
Exactly.
I mean, like, yeah. So they've been playing very well, and I know a couple people have said, you know, is the strength of opponent over the last five games playing into that? Well, certainly. I mean, it's playing into that they're sixth over the last five games. But it also speaks to the fact that they've, you know, had a really tough early schedule. And if you recall, I mean, outside of that Patriots game, they were in a lot of these games, right? And they were taking some of the big guys to the toe, you know, toe to toe to the end. Like, who are the best two teams? Who's the best team in the NFC? It's the Eagles. They went toe to toe with them. Who's the second best team in the NFC according to, you know, your record? Well, it's the Vikings. They went toe to toe with them. Who's the best team in the AFC right now? Well, according to record, it's the Buffalo Bills, and they went toe to toe with them. Like,
Dallas Cowboys.
Well, the Cowboys right up until they imploded, right? With like 4 minutes left or whatever it was, right?
But they were close.
They were. It was a one score game until they decided that they didn't like holding onto the ball. but like they've been able to punch above their weight. You know, at least, you know, from a record standpoint, at least from, you know, from like what most expectations were. And so you're starting to see the fruition of a lot of hard work.
Yeah. And listen, like that's the positivity on the Lions side. And I don't think there needs to be any negativity coming from Minnesota, but there remains the same questions that have been there for all season, which is like, how are they getting away with this? How are they winning every single one score game? I think they're 9-0 in one score games or something like that. And so that also means they're not blowing anyone out. 9 of their 10 wins come by one score games. We all know what happened when the two teams faced each other in week 3. So, I mean, there is a level of skill to finishing games, I think.
Certainly.
But I think there is also a fair amount of luck. Like, that's just how the NFL works. And so it does seem like there's a little bit of a house of cards that this Vikings team is built on, but not, I mean, not to a point where like, oh, this is clearly a top 4 team in the NFC.
It's got a lot of like Giants game feel to it. Right. I mean, in a lot of ways, because the Giants were winning in a lot of the same ways that the Vikings were winning. And they were a team that was finishing games. And like you said, that's a skill to be able to finish those games. And you get comfortable when you're winning 9 of the games that you're in close games. Like, you learn how to not panic. Problem for the Vikings is that the Lions have learned that skill as well. Apparently after last week, they've learned that if you just keep your right foot down, the accelerator just keeps going. And so it's nice to see that too, because
I gain a lot of respect for Dan Campbell for the play, and Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson for the game that they called on Sunday.
There was a lot going on in a positive way, and you're starting to see what a healthy team this look. This was the vision of Brad Holmes, right? Like, this was his offensive vision, was it? If we have healthy guys, this is the type of thing. And I still don't think they're even 100%. Like, you're still missing your right guard. You're still missing. I still don't think Swift's all the way back. You know what I mean? Like, he looks back, but he doesn't look all the way. I mean, health wise, he's almost there, but he's not there from an acclimation standpoint. And so you're not all the way back, but this was kind of what I think the goal was when you go into the offseason, is this is what we wanted to accomplish on offense, and the defense is going to come. And you know, what have we talked about? If they can be middle of the road, or, you know, low 20s, then great. And they're playing above low 20s right now. And so though that combination is really the goal of where they, I think, what they wanted to accomplish in the offseason. That's you're starting to see all that talent come back from injury, and it's just, it's starting to piece together at the right time.
Well, let's move back to the offense here, because a lot of people have had this question, and I addressed it on my 6 or 7 things I'm thinking right now, and it's the future of Ben Johnson, because listen, he's making noise. People are starting to pay attention nationally. So, I guess since I've already answered it on the website, I'll let you take a 3-pronged question. One, do you think there's a legitimate likelihood that not only he gets an interview, but maybe lands a job this upcoming offseason? 2, do you think he deserves it? 3, do you have an idea of what the Lions' succession plan should be?
First, I absolutely think he will get an interview. Like, I don't think there's a question about that. He should get an interview, multiple interviews in the next couple of head coach cycles, right? Yeah. If he doesn't get one this cycle, very good chance he continues to get one, right? Does he deserve it? Yes, I think so, right? Like, this is a guy who has coached multiple positions on offense. He's been coaching for a decade in the league, and he is a guy who has a lot of connections with head coaches. And it's not just Dan Campbell. It's Zach
Taylor.
It's Taylor with the Bengals. Right. He's got connections to, and then that tree kind of splits off into categories as well. And so there's a litany of experience that Ben Johnson has. And so, yes, you could argue, like, I know Mike McDonald, the Dolphins coach, is the guy that a lot of people like look at and say, oh, he was only, you know, like that one-year guy, and did he deserve it? But if you look at his history, like his long history with the Shanahans, and he's been doing it a long time, and this is, and Ben reflects that. I think he's got that history. Yep. So yes, does he deserve it? I do think he does. I do think he will get interviews. I don't know if he will land a job. I think that's too hard to predict. Right. But I do think he's going to be in the conversation for a lot of teams. The last part was, that third part was of that question.
What's the line succession plan if they have one?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know that they do. I think we all kind of saw Ben as a guy, you know, behind Anthony Lynn when they first got hired, because of Dan's history with him. I know a lot of people are going to say Deuce Staley makes a lot of sense, but I actually think Deuce has more power in his assistant head coach role.
Right. Because I also think he's better suited, right? Like, he seems like a better suited leader than necessarily a play caller. Guy. Right.
Correct. I don't think it's Brunel. I mean, look.
Yeah.
I love Hank Fraley to death. Can Hank Fraley call an offensive game plan? I have no idea.
Tanner?
He can coach the crap out of an offensive line. Tanner's too young. I mean, look, he's only Tanner goes back to Harbaugh. So you've got Harbaugh, you've got Campbell, he's building his resume and he's on the Ben Johnson path, but I don't think he's to that point. But I mean, look, they wouldn't give him passing coordinator duties if they didn't think Tanner Engstrom was an up-and-coming coach, right?
Sure.
I don't think it's Randall L. I think he's too early. So, yeah, it's possible this is an outside-the-organization type of hire if Ben Johnson does leave.
Do you think there's any chance that Dan Campbell would reassume play call duties?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think it would really depend on what their approach was. If they promoted from within, I think he'd be in the mix to want to assert himself a little bit. If they hire from outside the organization, I think they would do that with the understanding the outside hire would have the control.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think a lot of Lions fans, and understandably so, have been like, obviously they're concerned about this. Ben Johnson, I think, deserves a ton of credit for what the Lions are doing. Not to take anything away from the players, but I think he's done a really good job calling plays. There's a reason why this team is first in red zone efficiency. There's a reason why their third down efficiency has been better as of late. He's growing as a play caller, and he's scheming people open. And you just talk to anyone inside that organization, and they just rave about the guy. I mean, you all saw Jared Goff come up behind Ben Johnson after they had just hung 40 on the Jaguars and just give him a big old hug.
Well,
there's a reason for all that, right?
Ben Johnson's making him millions of dollars. That's why.
We'll get to Jared Goff in a minute here, but I just think there's a certain level of confidence, and I think Lions fans have, because this team has done a pretty good job building coaching staffs, and I know they've already fired two people in 2 years, and maybe that doesn't look great on them, but I think there's a confidence that Dan Campbell has enough connections that he's just going to find a new person, and maybe that is true. I think that's putting a little bit too much faith into just like, these Ben Johnsons don't grow on trees. I don't truly believe that they do.
Correct.
But I do think maybe Dan Campbell's earned at least a little bit of faith here.
Yeah, he's got I think what you pointed to there about his connections, I think, is the biggest feather in his cap. Right. Is his reach was one of the things that people pointed to when he was hired, was that he knows a lot of people in the NFL and he knows a lot of what their talents are. And I'm sure he has a list of people that he's interested in, and inevitably coaches become free because of organizational changes. And so, you know, I'm sure he has somebody in mind if it does come to that. It's a similar type thing that we saw with Glenn though last year. I mean, everybody was like, Glenn was the hot hire, the hot guy to look at and everything. Right. And then everything backed off and now they've cooled their jets a little bit. And in my opinion, I think they should heat up again, the way this team has been playing. Right.
That's also true. But the main difference though, to me, is like, it's an offensive coach, right? Like that makes a difference.
That's the NFL.
That's the NFL right now. You want the young, hot, offensive-minded coach. And is there anyone more hot than Ben Johnson in terms of offensive coordinator right now? I don't know if the answer
is. No, I don't think so. Because the startling thing is when you look at the numbers, like the scoring offense and all that stuff, and you think you might often forget that they put a goose egg up against the Patriots.
Right.
And if he doesn't put a goose egg up on that game, that, I mean, all those numbers are significantly better.
Top 10, right?
Right. I mean, he's like fourth in certain, like he's in top four in a lot of these things, and where he would be like in the top two. And like, yeah. So I think Johnson is the coach that everybody's going to be, you know, wringing their hands over this offseason.
Yep. All right. Let's stick with the offense. We got a couple questions about wide receivers here. First one comes from Mountain Biker. How much more JMO involvement can we expect to see this year?
A little bit.
Did you listen to Campbell on 97.1 this morning?
I did not.
I did. And he talked a little bit about it, and I was going to write something about it, and then I got sidetracked by a million other things like I tend to do.
Enlighten me.
Yeah. I mean, so he wouldn't commit on the Gunner stuff, whether that was a thing going forward. It sounded like he's backing off a little bit, but basically he said like, yeah, we're going to give him more next week. And then we're going to give him more, and then we're going to give him more. Yeah. And so, I think maybe as early as the next week in New York, he might be starting. I would not be surprised. Obviously, it depends on how he performs, but like,
certainly
8-10 snaps against the Jaguars. And I think he was in for both victory formations, by the way, based on what Campbell said in his press or in his 97.1 interview. But yeah, like 15 to 20 next week, probably this week.
So I think the easiest way to look at him is to look at how they utilized Jerry Jacobs.
Right.
And Jerry was thrown right into the Gunner mix in his first game. And I think a lot of that is part of the acclimation process. Right. I think you noted it. You touched on it a little bit in your thoughts. I think Baumgartner touched on it a little bit on Twitter as well. But you're putting him in a situation where you're trying to get his feet wet and you're trying to get him exposure to the game. Now, as you increase his role on offense, you know, you don't need to lean on other ways to get him involved. And the difference though, between Jerry and JMO is that the defense needed Jerry quick.
Right.
And so Jerry's exposure got amped up awfully fast. But as we've seen, last week, Jerry had 100% of snaps, but the 3 weeks prior, he was splitting duties with like Mike Hughes. Right. And I think that's kind of what you can expect, is that there's going to be a couple of weeks where he starts getting amped up. He's got a much, much more talent in front of him than Jerry had on defense. And so, you know, yeah, can he go from 8 to 20? Certainly. Can he take snaps from Khalif Raymond? Absolutely. Can he take them from Josh Reynolds? Probably, right? But I think it's still going to be a couple of weeks of him like splitting duties. Right. He may not start the year, or he could start for Jets. It we don't know, right? Yeah. Like it really depends. But I think having the talent in front of him at wide receiver allows the coaches to be patient with him, much to the chagrin of the fans.
Right.
And myself.
Right. It's tough to be patient with a guy that can be as exciting as him. But the one receiver we didn't really mention there comes for our next question from Indy Smith on Twitter. Says, what does DJ Chark need to do for the rest of the season to get an extension? Obviously, he has a big game against his former team, which I think that was an overplayed kind of storyline. I think it was really... DJ Chark was really feeling healthy for the first time since week three. And his motivation, based on what he was saying to the media, was like, I need to prove to myself I can do this. I need to prove myself that the injuries are behind me. I need to prove myself that 2019 year where I was a Pro Bowl guy is not far. I need, like, I'm 26 years old, for God's sake. Don't bury my career yet. And so I think that was a big step in that direction. And honestly, like, I know there are some people that they're like, okay, this was a waste of money. It was another whiff in free agency from Brad Holmes. The guy played 2.5 healthy games before last week, before the Jaguars game. Let's see how he does down the stretch. And yeah, let's move on to the question. What do you think he needs to do to potentially stay here in 2023?
I want to make sure that we don't undersell what he did against the Jaguars too, because their corner, their Thompson, right? Their starter, their CB1, right? Tyson Campbell. He had gone into the week only allowing like six receptions in the previous five games. And I know, like, if you look at PFF, I think they only credited him, Chark, with having two receptions against Campbell. According to my eye test, it was at least four. I don't know if they just didn't count him as being in coverage or whatever they came up with. Like, I think PFF said that head-to-head was like, they gave Chark 2 for 19. In my mind, that 41-yarder right off the bat, that was against him. Like, I don't understand where that went, right? So this was a very talented up-and-comer that he was head-on-head against, and he did very well against him. Now, you move into your next opponent and the next one after that, and are those opponents going to put CB1 on Chark? And if they don't, he's got an opportunity to be even more successful, because there's going to be a lot of them that are going to say, we have to account for St. Brown, because St. Brown is just assassinating people over the middle.
Not to look too far down the road, but I'm just thinking Sauce Gardner against the Jets. Like, where does he go? Does he go against Jeebo? Does he go against Amon-Ra? Does he go against Chark?
Well, that's the thing, is I don't think he can travel to St. Brown, and that's the beauty of J-Mo.
Yeah.
Is that just the threat of J-Mo is going to draw that attention, right?
Yeah.
And so I think Chark has to stay steady at this point. If he can stay steady and take advantage of, you know, when he doesn't have the top guy, or maybe if he has the top guy and he still stays steady, that's great. That's going to get him there. You listen to that post-game speech. He absolutely loves it here.
Yep.
I mean, he loves it here. And, you know, I think whether he goes into free agency or whether he re-signs with Detroit, his price tag is going to come down because of his injuries. But how much is it going to come down? I don't know. Will they give Detroit a discount? It's possible, because, I mean, when you care about where you're at and you think it elevates you, there's opportunity.
That's me doing a crescendo.
Dan Campbell, ascension, right?
Yeah, for the podcast listeners.
What does he have to do? Stay steady, man. Let St. Brown's going to eat. Like, that's just the way this team operates. And if he's number two behind St. Brown, you got a chance to get re-signed.
I agree. All right, we'll take a break here. That was an extra long first segment. When we come back, we're going to answer more of your Lions questions as we head into week 14 against the Vikings with a surging 5-7 Detroit Lions team. We'll be right back.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we are back on our midweek mailbag. Week 14, heading into Vikings week. Against my better judgment, Eric, I am going to start this segment with a couple of draft questions. The first one of which comes from someone named Russian Bot, but also generic user 216 is their Twitter name, which fantastic, by the way. So it's assuming the Rams pick is top three and they take Carter or Anderson. Is it crazy to trade up a few picks later to then take a quarterback? We probably need to trade at least next year's first and some later round picks.
I don't know. I mean, they went from 30 to 12 or 31, 32. To 12. And they gave up, they gave up what, a second rounder? Like in like an, like a couple day two picks? Like, right? Like, I don't even know if you necessarily, if they're picking in the teens, to move up a few spots isn't going to cost you a first rounder the following year. It's not. I mean, it's not. No, stop. It's not. just call Minnesota up wherever.
There's a difference of jumping to 12 than to like 7, right? Like,
but the question was a move up a few spots. If you're picking in the teams and you're only moving up a few spots, then it's not going to cost you first. Okay. If you're talking about jumping up into the top 10, okay, yeah, now you're starting to do it. Yeah. Here's the thing. If you like a quarterback that much that you're willing to jump back into the top 10, you're probably taking them at three. You know what I mean? Like on or two or whatever it is. Right. Four, I think. Now. So I don't think they would jump up for a quarterback. Now, could they still jump up for somebody? Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't rule that out. Like if the Lions are picking 20 and they see a guy they like and they want to jump up and get him, I absolutely think that Brad Holmes has shown that he was willing to be aggressive. If it was a quarterback, though, just because the quarterback is such a different animal of a pick, like you don't if he's good enough for you to trade up to take in the top 10, then he's good enough for you to take it 3-4, whatever the pick is going to be. So I wouldn't think that they would trade up for a quarterback, but I wouldn't rule out that they trade up a couple of spots for somebody else.
Yeah. I'm with you. And this is something that I said last year, right? When the discussion was, you know, do the Lions take a quarterback at 32? I'm like, well, if he's good enough for 32, you just take him at 2. Like, I know it's a big difference, but the one thing that throws a kink into this where I'm just like, okay, I would consider it is Carter, right? Because I want Carter a whole lot.
Yeah, he's a ton of fun.
And that's like, that's something that last draft was missing. It was missing an
You didn't have these two guys.
100% elite guy game changer. No offense to Aiden and all these guys.
We also didn't think Aiden was going to fall, right? We didn't think Aiden was going to drop the two at that time either. So go ahead. Sorry, though.
So, yeah, no, just like the prospect of having just such a game wrecker like Jalen Carter makes me at least consider the scenario where you're just like, okay, we're not going to have an opportunity to get a guy like this who fits what we want to do, who can really take this defense to now a defense that is playing at least average football and maybe move you into the top 10 discussion as quickly as next year. And then you like, okay, then like you're sitting at 6 and 7 and you're comfortable with a couple quarterbacks. You already have a trade in place around that time so that you know one of your guys is probably going to be there. And even if they're not, you're like, okay, we don't feel terrible about Jared Goff. Maybe we just sit pretty and deal with the 15th pick or whatever it is. It's something that I would consider it, but like you, I'm more of the belief that if you truly believe in this quarterback and you have the draft capital, you just take him at the top.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I still think though that if they think a quarterback's a top 10 quarterback, they're going to take him because the quarterback is the difference, right? Yep. At the same time, those guys are just so good. Those defenders are the pair of them are just so good. It's like they are difference makers realistically. And I'm the longer we get in, as we start to get into this draft process, I think we're going to see a shift in how people view the quarterbacks in this class. Just talking to Dane last week has given me some pause on a couple of the quarterbacks, most notably Stroud.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that teams maybe are a little bit more wishy-washy than you know, the analysts are, and that there's a few more flaws to his game. If I'm not mistaken, and I don't think Dane said this to us, but I did read this from Dane somewhere where he essentially said the Lions might look at Stroud and see that while he, the only thing that he does better than Jared Goff is have a lower price tag. Or I'm paraphrasing, right, but that's essentially what he was alluding to, is that there, are you going to spend your top five potential pick on a guy who's, all you're doing is saving capital. And so I don't know. And if that's how the league views him, there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to want to go after Stroud because he's a starting quarterback potential in the NFL. But if you're a team like Detroit who has Jared Goff under contract for a couple more seasons and you don't think that this is an upgrade, then I don't know. I don't know how that's going to change, but it's going to be interesting to see how this draft process plays out, because I am getting this inkling that the quarterbacks are not as tempting as we had originally thought about 3-4 months ago.
Well, going off of that discussion, there's been a lot of questions about Jared Goff this week because he coming off maybe one of his best games as a Detroit Lion. So the question is now, and I know we're going to pose this to Pride Detroit readers later this week.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, like, okay, is he back in the discussion of being the Detroit Lions quarterback of the future?
I think he's in the discussion, certainly. I think he always has been, though. Even when he was having his downs, the down parts of this season, I think he was in that discussion. Is he the long-term answer? That I still don't know. I still am not sold on the fact that he is a guy that is going to elevate your team to the next level.
Right.
At the same time, he is a top 15 quarterback, and that is something we've said all year, right? Yep. I know we get hammered for being critical of Goff, and some of our staff is a very, very critical of Goff, and I get that. But the two of us, we have said he is a top 12 to top 15 quarterback. We've said this consistently since he came over. And so if you are in a spot where you think that there's a quarterback of the future in this class and you have a top 15 quarterback in the league, you might not feel the need to move on from him, right? Especially if you can get better in other areas. So I don't know exactly what their game plan is going to be. I could see it going either way. And it really comes down to what do they view the upside of this class is. If they look and they say, hey, there's only one quarterback that we think is better than him or has a better long-term outlook than him, and if they think he's going first overall, then they're just going to sit back and they're going to take what's going to be a very reasonable $30 million contract. And I know $30 million sounds ridiculous, but like that's like middle of the road, top 15 type quarterback money. And they can sit on that. And if they end up, somebody falls in their lap, well, they got an easy out on his contract, right? Like, I don't think he's necessarily the guy for the next decade, right?
Right.
Now, could, I don't know, maybe he can be. But I do think he could very easily be the guy for the next 2 years. It just really depends on how they view the quarterbacks in the next couple of draft cycles.
Yeah. And I think that the thing that everyone gets caught up on is the contract, right? Is because there's nothing more valuable than a franchise quarterback on a rookie deal. And that's correct. Yeah. You're right. 100%. That's a lot easier said than done though, right? Like it takes a while. Like even a guy, you know, that we just saw last week in Jacksonville, like Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, Justin Fields, too.
It's taken him 2 years to get where the point where he's at now, and he's still working through it.
Yeah.
That takes 2 years to develop a franchise quarterback, and by then you're only going to get, what, 1 or 2 years of, like, elite-level play if they're that guy on that rookie deal. And that's best-case scenario, because a lot of worst-case scenarios are he's gone by year three. He's gone by year four. You failed. You have thrown Jared Goff to the wasteland to take a lottery pick on a quarterback, and now you've set your rebuild back to 3 years. It's an incredible risk. And listen, it's very risky, and that shouldn't scare away a talent evaluator. That shouldn't scare away Brad Holmes. But if you have something in there right now that, yeah, it costs you a lot of money, but you've got a lot of draft capital, you've got a really young team across the board that is not costing you a lot of money anywhere outside of the offensive line, you have enough money. You can build a different way. You don't have to have the young quarterback on the rookie deal. You can save money elsewhere. There's a million other positions. And Jared Goff is helping you put up 30 points a game. He's helping you win. He's helping your offense be a top 10 efficient offense right now. And so there's I guess people need to also look at the downside of deciding to move on from Jared Goff is what I'm saying, because it's easy to look at the bright side. It's very easy to look at the bright side, but the grass is not always greener, and draft picks, even high quarterbacks, don't pan out. And I don't think there's a guy right now that everyone is 100% confident is going to pan out. And even if you are, sometimes those don't work either.
While listening to you, I should have pulled up like some quarterback numbers, like who's been drafted recently. But look, of the top young quarterbacks in the NFL right now, Tua took 3 years to develop. Josh Allen took 3 years before he was Josh Allen. Mahomes took a couple of years before he was Mahomes, right? Justin Fields is in his second year, and he's just starting to come into his. Trevor Lawrence, you said as well, as you pointed out, and it just starting to come in. So, like, if you draft a quarterback, you have to know that the next probably 2 years are going to be a learning curve for that quarterback. And if that's not where they're at, if that's not where they think they're at in the rebuild, then that might not be worth it to them. Like, if you're, and I hate to bring like the this perspective in on like from like Holmes or Campbell, but like if they have a losing season, and let's say this season implodes at the end, let's say they end up like not having to lose, I apologize. let me if they end up having a losing season, let's say they lose two more games, they're gonna have a losing season, right? If you have back-to-back losing seasons in your first two, and then you draft a rookie quarterback, and that rookie quarterback doesn't help you, and now you have a couple more losing, how many years, even though you got those 5-6 year contracts, if you're 4 years in and you still haven't got a winning record because now you're taking your couple years for your quarterback to develop, that's a job security issue, right? Like, and so Campbell and Holmes, like Holmes might get one crack at the quarterback spot, right? Exactly. And if he doesn't absolutely love a quarterback in this class, why risk it? Add another elite talent to, and let Dan Campbell turn, you know, work with him and help them, right? Like for Holmes, it might not be worth it unless he loves a guy. Now, if he loves a guy, great, go for it. You know, put your money where your mouth is and try and turn him and try and develop him as quick as you can. Give him opportunities, try and get him going. But like at the same time, if you only get one crack at it, I can't see them like grabbing a guy that they're not like completely in love with.
The only thing I want to add to the conversation, and it's kind of countering my own point, because yeah, it does take young quarterbacks a long time to develop, but the Lions are in a position also to be putting that young quarterback in just about as perfect of a scenario as they can be, right? They're surrounded by a lot of talent. They're surrounded by a good offensive line. So if there's a team that can maybe fast track a rookie quarterback to really play at a high level right away. Like I think Mahomes is probably the best example, right? That often. And I think we make this comparison all the time, right? Is they have their, what's his name? The guy that came before
Alex Smith.
They have their Alex Smith.
Yeah.
They can now go get a Patrick Mahomes and make that seamless transition to, you know, Patrick Mahomes really just hitting the ground running. I think the Lions are in a scenario where they could potentially do that with a rookie quarterback.
Right.
I just don't know if a Patrick Mahomes is in this draft.
Right. And there's a danger to that, right? Like the Kansas City approach is obviously the most successful outcome from that. At the same time, if you end up never falling in love with this quarterback, you run the risk of turning into the Colts, right? Where you're constantly looking for a veteran. And so that balance in between is the tricky part. How do you continue to build your team yet get a quarterback that it can succeed with that team? It's a tough balance, which is why,
this offseason is going to be fascinating.
Yeah. Because honestly, it's a unique approach that Sheila Hamp took with this total organizational rebuild. Was she said, I'm going to give them large contracts and I'm going to be patient with them. That's not the approach most owners have, which is why you see turnover, which is why you see GMs getting fired for, X, Y, and Z. To take this kind of slow approach is really how the NFL used to build, right? And they used to be patient with the GMs and patient with the coaches. But you also have to have the right guys in place. And do they have the right guys in place? It looks like it. I mean, we're still 2 years in, so it's hard to be certain, but it sure looks like they have a lot of the right people in place. And there's always going to be fine tuning, but this kind of longer approach to rebuilding, it does reflect, I think, a little bit more of like what they've done in Kansas City. And so, yeah, it's really going to come down to like what you said. Do they think that there's a Mahomes type of, quote unquote player that they are a quarterback that they can acquire and then sit behind Goff? And, you've got Goff for two more years. So that means you've basically got two more drafts, right?
True.
And then if you
better draft capital than you're going to have this year though.
Well, but then it gets tricky. Like everyone talks about trading up. What if you trade back? What if you're trying to acquire different picks? What if you're trying to go, what if you try and take the opposite approach, which I don't necessarily think they're going to do. I think Holmes is going to stay aggressive, but they could do that. They could try and flip it around. They could, if they get to a point where they have a quarterback that they like, they could maybe try and shed a veteran or two. And, they're in 2 years, they could have a couple of veterans that are high profile veterans that could return some trade value. And I don't want to name names, but if you look at, some stat sheets, you could probably figure out who I'm talking about. And there's ways around it. You know what I mean? And then maybe you could give up future picks as well to find ways. So I don't think they're married to a quarterback this year. But I do think they have to make that decision sometime in the next probably 3 years. Sooner than later, is that better? I don't know. But
I guess it depends on how far you think you can go with Jared Goff, right? Because if you don't think you can win a Super Bowl with Jared Goff, then it needs to be soon. It needs to be.
Yes. Yes.
It needs to be yesterday. But I don't know. We'll see. I think we got to close the conversation there. It's one we're going to be having for the next 5 months. And it's fascinating. Yes. I don't think there's a clear cut answer. I know a lot of people are eager to get a rookie quarterback in here because it brings in a lot of excitement. It brings in a young guy on a cheap deal. It might bring some mobility, which I think is something that I do think that, is one aspect of the offense that this is missing under Jared Goff. Yeah. But it's really hard to complain about the offense right now too. So, all right, we're going to close things up. Thank you for all your questions. Our live audience will answer a few more off air. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back with First Bite, recording with, of course, since it's Vikings week, Arif Hasan, one of our favorite guests. That'll be on Thursday night on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/PrideDetroit. But until then, thank you all for listening. Go Lions. It's chaos. Be kind.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
Claude 3 from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point of the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skill and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who use Anthropic to navigate this new frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, today. Jumpstart your genius with Claude 3 by Anthropic.